And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
I got a little switch. I can behave a little more if the guest on the show, you know, prefers not to have swearing versus doesn't care.
Did you say behave?
That's what the word sounds like when you've got a mouthful of bread.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm eating dinner.
And that's nothing new on this podcast. SML podcast, episode 137, I think. Something like that.
At what point do we stop counting?
I don't know. When we can't think of numbers anymore, which we're getting pretty close.
Yeah, we should just start going with, like, the dates, you know. Welcome to episode November 5th.
Welcome to episode. We'll just leave it. It'll be like the Super Bowl episodes of shows where they, like, cover their mouths and then they just dub it in later.
Welcome to episode 153.
It's just, we'll never do that because we're too lazy. Anyway, we have a very special guest on the show today, Mr. Phil. I'm going to butcher your last name, Tibitoski. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, you got it. Happy. Phil Tibitoski. I'm technically president of Young Horses, creators of a game called Octodad, Deadliest Catch. But really what I do is just any external contact between the company and anyone else. I handle that. And then I also do a lot of businessy stuff. Sometimes run like playtests and QA stuff, do PR, pretty much anything miscellaneous that needs to be done that's not directly making the game, because I moved on from that because I decided I wasn't that great at it.
I'm trying to decipher if the noise is coming from your end or Pappy.
No, that's me opening up a taco. Okay.
It could potentially be both. My pug right now, Dexter, is like giving me a dirty face. Like,
yeah.
He's really jealous of the laptop sitting on my lap.
I love pugs because they can give two different people dirty looks at the same time. My parents own two pugs, so they do not appreciate that I trained the one to bark at the door every time someone whistles. apparently, they didn't like that extra training that I gave for free.
Weird.
That's charity work, and they're saying no to charity work?
Yeah, mine just gets really jealous. He likes to lie in my lap and stuff like that, so now his laptop's there, he's pissed.
And my only weird thing with pugs is for having such short hair, their ability to shed 24/7 is like some kind of magic.
Yeah, they have a really thick undercoat. That's why they shed so much.
Yeah, and again, my parents' pugs will only sit on my lap if I'm wearing a black shirt.
Of course.
Then they're just like, oh, hey, let me ruin your entire day.
Yeah, my fiance and I have to, like, lint roll each other before we leave the house.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Pappy had to deal with two pugs for, what, a weekend that you visited where I have five cats.
Yeah.
Five cats.
Two pugs for 9 days and then five cats for 4 days. And then by the time I got home, I had to wash everything, like, four times just to make all the hairs go away.
Ugh.
Yeah, you can't walk into our house and then immediately leave without getting covered in fur.
Right.
Yeah.
Cats. Yay.
And then, you know, and then your wife is like, oh, I vacuumed. I'm like, that's good. If you vacuumed like 8 seconds before I showed up, that might help for 8 more seconds.
Right. Yeah, every time I vacuum our carpets and rugs and stuff, you get a full vacuum of fur, and then it's the same, you know, it's back to that a day later, so.
So, you're on here for video games, I guess.
Supposedly.
We could mention, you said that you worked on Octodad,
Correct.
The nobody out there who doesn't know what the game is. Do you want to explain it, just in case someone's been living under a rock?
Yeah, sure. So, you play the game as an octopus who is both the... Yes. Weird, I know.
That's not
you probably
a guy?
Would never guess from... Not a normal... Well... People say he's like a normal human guy.
Dude, you got to lead with spoiler alerts here.
People wonder why we make a game about somebody so normal and boring. But you play as Hector, get out of here. You play as an octopus who's both the father and a husband of a normal human family, except that they don't know you're an octopus, and so as well as the rest of the world doesn't know. And so you're trying to keep that from everyone by just being a good dad and a good husband. But it's hard because you have no bones, so you kind of flop around all over the place and cause destruction wherever you go. And so the game is all about managing the controls and moving him around limb by limb, whereas, you know, other games are about, like, saving the world. This is like, can you wash the dishes? Can you mow the lawn?
Can you go grocery shopping?
The answer to that for me is no. I've never been so frustrated.
Human bones.
I know, I've never been so frustrated trying to get a pack of soda in a video game.
I gotta say, for how difficult the game is to, like, wrap your head around and get the controls down pat, watching people speedrun it is one of the coolest things in the world.
It's pretty amazing. They kick our ass when it comes to, like, playing through so quick. I think the world record holder is somewhere around 15 minutes right now, which is pretty nuts.
Wait,
regularly,
the game, like the whole game?
Yeah, for the whole game. Regularly, the game takes anywhere between 2 and 3 hours if it's like your first time.
I feel like such a loser. It took me 15 minutes to mow the lawn the first time.
I mean, it depends person to person, but I'm just giving an average.
Well, Pappy's the resident bad at gaming person on the show, so...
Yeah, I'm the guy who just loves video games, but just can't quite grasp most of them. Like, I'm better with stuff that's like, you know, like Dragon Age.
Right.
Something to where it's just one person, I don't have to worry about any other human beings fucking me up, and I don't have to aim or press more than two buttons at once. Yeah.
Right.
I finally got Halo 5. It came today, nine days late.
Finally? Wow.
But I look forward to playing it. My coworkers are telling me they have like 27-1 kill ratios. I'm like, I'm looking forward to playing tomorrow and getting 27 kills all day.
Right.
I'm looking forward to a 0.27 kill ratio.
Oh, that's almost four deaths per kill. That's pretty high for me.
I feel like I've gotten worse at those sorts of games over time. Like, ever since I started making games, I've gotten really bad at playing them.
it just might have coincided with you getting older, because I'm finding that
possible.
Well, you never know. Being on our show could change things, because we had our friend Jay, who's working on the game Gear Gauntlet. He was on last week, and he called in from the UK, and to keep himself awake, he was playing Halo 5. And he was destroying people. He mentioned how much better he was doing being on our show. So I think that's scientific proof that our podcast makes you better at games.
Smooth stylings of your guys' voices.
Yeah,
probably would let him through.
Listening to our podcast
jokes. They just inspire.
Our podcast turns off a part of your brain and allows you to focus better.
Good.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Your brain actually forces part of it to shut down because our show is on. And then all of a sudden you're better at video games.
So, Pappy, what do you think? Should we go through the email questions first before we start asking stuff?
Yeah, let's get to that, because I don't want to double up since, you know, someone actually took the time to write something down.
Yeah, here is the first email. I'll just go in order of when I got them. It says, I saw a tweet where I can score a code for Xbox One, and I was wondering what Octodad is. I've seen various YouTubers play it, but never saw the true objective of the game, and I would love to know what it is. I also want to know if it's a difficult game. Thank you. Very polite.
I like that they let in with, oh, hey, I can win a game, right?
Right? Is that code here? Are you going to reply with the code?
Not only is he being honest about it, but he's very polite and said thank you. So, yes, Juan Espino, I think his name is. I'm going to give him a code right now. So,
kind of you.
Hoppy.
That's how we bribe people into calling in, well, emailing into the show by saying, hey, you know, the best emails read on the show will give you free stuff.
Answering your question.
It's legal bribery,
right,
basically.
Now. Here is your code. Yay.
So, while Joe's typing.
I mean, I guess. Yeah, when you see the game, it kind of just looks like you're fumbling around, breaking things, and that's true. But a lot of the point is completing, like, menial tasks that, you know, you and I would think are, well, maybe not you, but, like, I would think are easy, like grocery shopping, like mowing the lawn, stuff like that. Like I mentioned before, and it's just hard to do because you have to, you know, take it one step at a time, literally, and then, you know, use your arm separate from that and like pick things up and move them around. And it's not just walk up to thing and press A and it does it for you. And it can be difficult at first, but I think it's a great equalizer in a way, because everyone who plays it from the beginning is equally bad at it from the start, because it's a control scheme that doesn't really exist in anything else. And so in that way, it's kind of nice, because then everyone kind of starts from zero and can all get good at it from there.
Well, I'll definitely say mowing the lawn in that game was still easier than mowing the lawn in Mississippi when I had a 6 push mower. Yeah. That son of a bitch.
Oh, man up, you pussy.
Believe it.
Our next email is from our dear friend Bunny Smith. She has 3 different questions for you. Number 1, why did Octodad only put his suit on over his tentacles and not over what technically constitutes his body?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Getting all scientific here.
Yeah, so I mean, technically the sac on the back of his head is like a brunt of his body. And I guess, I don't know. We don't have any good, like, quippy, good, funny answer for that. It's just that's what looked best. That's what was weird, and that's what kind of was gross, because, like, when he walks around, his head sac, like, wags back and forth and stuff like that. It just looked like a head, I guess, because, like, I don't know. I guess we could have made the head out of the tentacles and done it the other way around. And then he'd just kind of be like hopping around and like wobbling. I don't know if it would have worked out as well.
So aesthetic. It's aesthetically pleasing. Yeah. That's what you got to go with.
It's what made him fit in the most, I think, and look the most human, or at least as human as he can.
Good answer.
It would have been weird if he just wore a hoodie around all the time.
Right.
Next question. What type of market did you originally envision as desiring a game like Octodad? Did this prediction come true, or has the demographic changed?
Well, I mean, back when we started working on it, which was in 2010, it was originally like a student project we did when we were in school, in college. We were purposely trying to make something super weird for this festival called the Independent Games Festival that takes place every year at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco, where the whole point is to make something new, weird, different that, you know, probably wouldn't be greenlit by a publisher anytime soon, at least from the get-go. And so I don't know if we had a specific audience in mind. It was more like trying to make something that's completely brand new. So like when we were designing it and coming up with the ideas for what game we would make, it was like, okay, we're not going to have any 2D platforming. We're not going to have any space marines. We're not going to have any elves. We're not going to have, you know, direct combat.
Not going to have pixel graphics.
Right. That sort of thing. Cause all that stuff at the time was incredibly popular and, you know, still is in a lot of ways. But it's also overdone, or at least, in order to do it well, you need a huge team a lot of the time. And we were only originally 18 people. So we kind of came at it from that angle. And it was more by luck that people actually liked it and thought it was funny and stuff like that than, you know, we didn't do any like market research or anything like that.
Yeah. I'm going to break off and kind of ask my own thing right here. Do you see as Octodad kind of starting a new genre of just weirdness, other games? Like, I don't know how to categorize them, but it's like stuff like this, like Goat Simulator, like I Am Bread. It's just offbeat weird stuff.
I think maybe we made it kind of blow up a little bit, but before us, there were a couple games like Quap. I don't know if you've ever played that.
Quap.
Yeah, but Quap was just, you know, a quick, you know, get on your browser game.
That's true. And I mean, and then there's like Minotaur in a China Shop, which is, I don't know if it's older than Quap or not, but it's another game where it's all about like control and potential of like causing a big mess and trying to be like careful and kind of act normal. So some stuff like that inspired us, but I think what we brought to the what people call fumblecore, it actually has a genre name.
I was just going to ask, what would you call the genre, but fumblecore?
Yeah, I don't know if I if I endorse that or not, but that's what people seem to call it, in at least in like game academic.
I think, though, your game is still out of that genre. Your game is still kind of the epitome to me. Like, yours and Goat Simulator are the only ones that, that were fun.
Right.
I recently checked out one called Tea Party, and that was just... It just took the idea of you need to have a steady hand and just made it almost impossible. You're literally just a right arm trying to serve your imaginary teddy bear at a tea party.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've seen that
And game. It is... I mean, just... I didn't even play it. I watch it. I'm like, I would break my laptop trying to play that game.
Right, right. I mean, I think what we did is, or what we tried to do is make him, the character, like so endearing and funny that it you get over that frustration rather than it just being like, you know, a hand from a human body. And then you're just like, I'm mad about this and don't want to touch it anymore. So.
Yeah, I you made me want to keep playing because, hey, it's actually a really funny story. The right word is endearing. You know, you were invested in making sure your family was happy and didn't realize that you were a sea mollusk.
Yeah. I mean, I think Goat Simulator is pretty funny, but I feel like we give better motivation than just the laughs.
Yeah, with Goat Simulator, I did the stuff that was funny to me, and then I stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no drive to really go back to Goat Simulator. But right. Octodad is still fun to play through again and again and show off to people for more than 5 minutes of, oh, you could break anything. Like, what is there to do? Like, that's what you do. Like, there's...
I mean, we end up telling a full story, and we kind of take the Pixar approach in comedy in that, like, there's stuff in there that adults will laugh at, and then there's the slapstick, which, you know, kids will mostly laugh at. But they might not get some of the other jokes and stuff like that. So there's multiple layers of stuff. So a lot of people can enjoy it for different reasons.
Nice. And Bunny's third question here, I think, is the most important question we're going to get today.
Uh-oh.
Do you like chocolate cake?
I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't like chocolate cake. Maybe you don't love it, but like if someone gives you chocolate cake, you're probably going to eat it. So, yes.
No, that's a pretty good explanation right there. You know, like, who says chocolate cake?
Yeah, she definitely earned a code for that.
I mean, I prefer like cassata, like cannoli cake, but chocolate's pretty good too.
Nice. You would go great with the Gunsgore and cannoli developers.
Are we just talking desserts now? Because I can get behind that.
I mean, if you want to.
Yeah, I'm dieting. Technically dieting right now. So
yeah, I just had to use up my cheat day to eat that taco.
Where are you located? Chicago?
Yeah, we're in Chicago.
Do you guys have tasty cake out there?
I don't think so, or at least I've never heard of it. Is it a bakery? Well,
it's a shame you guys don't have real pizza out there either. Oh,
oh God, here we go.
Shots
no, that's
fired
for sure.
That's
yeah.
it. I just make that. I don't. I deep dish pizza is delicious. I just consider it a different.
Yeah, it's a different beast. It's more of a pie, really.
Yeah, that's exactly. And when I put it that way, usually people are like, okay, you know, you're not starting a fight. You're just saying. But yeah, I'm not trying to say one's better than the other. I'll actually just straight up say that they're different.
No, I mean, this is like sacrilege for where I live now, at least, but I actually like Detroit pan pizza better than anything. But that's just because I'm from there originally.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of it has to do with Joe and I grew up in a small town in Northeast Pennsylvania where, I mean, we had, 10,000 people in our town, but we managed to sustain like 11 family pizza shops.
Something ridiculous, but it always came down to two brands. I'll explain the situation to people and they won't believe me, but I can honestly say it is like a gang war between Delo's Pizza and Toosie's Pizza.
Which is funny because they're the only places that were actually bakeries that also serve pizza. Everything else was actually a pizza place.
Yeah, like right. These are full-service bakeries who also do pizza. The one is like greasy, disgusting garbage, hot garbage.
The drunk pizza.
Ugh.
All right, I worked at Delo's making mm-hmm. pizza for 9 months. So we would actually make the pizza with the sauce and the topping. And then when it was almost done, we'd pull it out and then hand grate mozzarella, put it back in, and just melt the cheese. Tuzies would make everything and then put it in the oven until the cheese was actually black and crispy.
Which is disgusting. Tuzies, no, both of those sound kind of good to me.
Yeah, but see, you people take sides.
There is no middle ground in Berwick when it comes to the pizza. It's Tuzies
or
Delo's.
If I had to buy a slice at a gas station cold, I would go Tuzies, honestly, because Delo's is not that good cold.
You son of a bitch.
There.
I thought I knew you.
Pizza Hut had to shut down. Domino's shut down originally, and they're only in our town now because the place that was open till 4 a.m. burned down. So Domino's came in and filled that niche of drunk people ordering pizza.
Yeah, Little
midnight.
Caesar's shut down in town. Like, any big pizza chains would not last there because of the pizza scene in Berwick.
That's cool, though, honestly.
It's pretty great. But yeah, Tasty Cake, it's kind of like Little Debbie or Hostess, where it's like its own brand, and they make butterscotch crimpets, and they have peanut butter tasty cakes, and I would have to send you the peanut butter candy cakes because they are phenomenal. And if you don't have Tasty Cake out there, you are missing the greatest snack cakes in the world.
What's funny though is they're here in Vegas now.
Really?
Yeah, they skipped over the Midwest and went right to the West Coast to open up a wider market.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all the times we would go to Arkansas, like we have friends in Arkansas that we would do summer visits to, and we brought them down the one time and we would let everyone try them. And from then on, every time we went down, people were like, oh, can you bring us some Tasty Cakes?
Yeah, we weren't welcome unless we brought Tasty Cakes.
Tasty Cakes and Middlesworth chips.
Yeah. It's that bias. You know, same thing living here in Vegas now. It's like if I don't love In-N-Out, there's something wrong with me, you know?
Do you not like In-N-Out?
I don't dislike In-N-Out, but I'll be honest.
You don't think it's the second coming or anything? No. Yeah.
I think Fatburger is actually better, but it is really pricey.
Mm. I've never had compared. It. I've had In-N-Out. I've never had Fatburger.
I've never had In-N-Out. So
I do like that In-N-Out actually pays a good wage to all their employees, and you can tell they're taken care of because you go in there and everyone's just happy as shit. Like employees are holding the door for you. Hey, how you doing? What's up? What can I get for you? You know, as opposed to McDonald's, you go in there like, what the fuck do you want?
Right.
I hate my life.
Yeah. No, actually, I've fallen in love with a place here called Capriati's. It's a hot sub place.
Sounds good.
They make a. If you want to get unhealthy really fast, they got popular by making Thanksgiving sub. It's turkey, mayonnaise, stuffing, and cranberry sauce.
Oh, gosh.
On a toasted bun.
I mean, it sounds super good, but also like heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah, you get the 8-inch, and that is your Thanksgiving dinner, and you don't eat anything else.
Right.
Or else.
I don't know.
But yeah. What's that?
We can keep talking about video games. That's fine. I could sit here and talk about food and burgers and stuff forever. Chicago.
This is kind of actually what we like to do because I know a lot of you guys in the gaming industry, people have you on for interviews and stuff, and they tend to keep it to games.
Yeah. And it's just the same questions every time.
Yeah,
true.
We found that our guests get a little more lively when we change the topic once in a while, find something they actually like or a new topic, and just let them go. And our listeners seem to enjoy it too.
Yeah, or just rambling in general, incoherent rambling. Is a popular thing on our show.
Good. I don't know. Chicago is great for beer and food in general.
And CM Punk fanaticism.
Yeah. I can't say enough. I don't know. Like Kuma's, if you've ever been here, that is the burger place to go to. Either Kuma's or Au Cheval, both for different reasons. Kuma's has like ridiculous burgers and awesome kind of just like it's an event. To like go there because it's completely decked out in a bunch of like metal paraphernalia and they play metal really loud in there when you go, and it's also a bar.
Oh, too bad Chris is missing out on this conversation.
And they serve huge burgers, and all of them are named after bands, and they switch out monthly ones and stuff like that, and they're delicious.
That's like when my friend used to live in Atlanta, I'd go up there when I was in Mississippi. and they had a place in Little Five, Atlanta, called the Vortex. That's the same kind of, you know, burgers, but you go in there and it's just this really loud, like, rocking atmosphere.
That's awesome.
And let's see, I bypass burger.
Yeah.
Half wow. pound sirloin patty topped with a fried egg, 3 slices of American cheese, and 4 slices of bacon. And that's the small one. That's the coronary bypass. And there's the double and the triple.
Now, you guys could talk about all these cool burger places. I'm like, I've been to a Hard Rock Cafe
that's why,
before.
You're not allowed to come visit me in Vegas. Or if you do, you're not allowed to go to Heart Attack Grill. Because anyone over 300 pounds eats free.
Fuck yeah.
They've actually had people die there. Like, die
fuck
on
yeah.
the premises.
Oh, man.
That's what they call it, the Heart Attack Grill. And they'll actually feed you food that is meant to be so bad for you. They've had obese people actually die while eating.
Yeah. I like, from Kuma's, I like one called the Plague Bringer. It comes with roasted garlic mayo, crushed garlic, house-made hot sauce, jalapenos, tortilla strips, lettuce, tomato, and onions. And their burgers are like half pound, like huge monsters. So,
jeez.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. And then no one wants to have you talk near them.
Right.
And then you're going to die tomorrow when everything starts going through the system.
Man, I wish I had good burger stories. Like, my best burgers are Five Guys. That's
or Red Robin. Yeah, that's all you got over there.
I've been to Johnny Rockets. Is that special?
No, that doesn't count.
They danced. It was amazing.
If you ever get a chance to go to Vegas, man, it's a food mecca. Like, I've only lost like 15 pounds in the last 4 months because it's really hard to just stay on that diet when people are like, hey, we're going out to a really nice place, and then you get there and it's like, oh, bread for days. Yes.
Right. I mean, I've been to Vegas a few times, but it's always been just like the Strip, so I haven't gotten to branch out much.
But even then, though, the Strip has some like New York, I like go to Nine Fine Irishmen, and they serve some of the best Irish food.
You know, yeah, I've gotten some good food in the hotels and the casinos and stuff. I can't remember what the name of the place was. It was some like weird like hair, like a list of animals or something like that. But we ended up spending way too much money there, but the food and drinks were excellent.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember this joint. Our mutual friend Dale North took me to when he was here. It was a burger place. And the burgers are really good, but their claim to fame was that they had alcoholic milkshakes. So you get like a cookies and cream with like Bailey's and vodka in it.
Right.
And it's a really good food. Terrible idea to do that and then go walk around. Just the worst idea I've ever had.
What's the Italian hotel? Can't remember the name of it.
Venetian?
Yeah. We were staying at the Venetian for PlayStation Experience a year or two ago. And then
the one last summer I was there.
Yeah.
Oh cool. Yeah, the first one. But we were there and then we went to a Mexican restaurant in the Venetian. But we got like pina coladas in coconuts. And then we went to CVS or Walgreens or something and bought whiskey. And then we're drinking whiskey out of the coconuts.
Yeah, that sounds like a Vegas experience right there.
It was a good time.
Yeah, I did the PlayStation Experience because they had such a low attendance that they were giving out free tickets on base, on military. So I'm like, hell yeah, free tickets, why not? I fill it out, I go to do pickup, and it was 2 free tickets, so I actually hunted down a coworker when I got out Saturday and gave it to him so he could go there Sunday.
Awesome.
Because I didn't even own a PlayStation. I was just like, hey, free tickets.
Right, why not?
Yeah, let's check it out. Well, I ended up – Dale North was there, so I got to say hi to him. And then the Shovel Knight guys were there. And so, I wanted to tell them how much I enjoyed sucking at their game.
Yeah, they're all cool guys. I know Dale and I know David from Yacht Club. They're cool.
Okay, yeah. Oh, Jake, the guy who did the music for Shovel Knight.
Kaufman, right?
Yeah.
He's only 4 hours away from here. I still haven't gotten off my ass and driven over there to see him. It's hard to leave Vegas. It really is.
I believe it.
Plus, you're lazy.
It's a terrible combination. Being lazy and having everything, you know, within 15 minutes of me is a bad combination.
That must be rough for you. Sorry.
Poor baby living in Vegas. Such a hard life in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only downside is just like the worst city in the country for dating.
Really?
Yeah, because it's such a transient population. You know, it's like, oh yeah, the odd you could actually meet somebody on like, you know, Match.com and they'll move in like 2 weeks.
That is a bummer. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what dating is like. I've always had like a long-term relationship to long-term relationship. So I've never been in like a field.
I'm the opposite. Is that I won't date for like 3 or 4 years, and then I'll date somebody for 3 or 4 years, and then repeat. You know.
Good now I'm locked down. So.
Yeah. So, unlike Joe, just you know, waits till Stockholm syndrome kicks in and then marries her.
Yeah, she's stuck with me, man. She's not getting away. She fell for it. Hey, 9.5 years, man. She's fucking trapped now. She's never getting
pretty
out.
Good.
And it's my fault too.
Yeah, you dumb bastard. What did you do to her? Yeah, he's a good guy. You should date him.
I get this message out of the blue. Hey, your friend, you know, sent me a you know, asked me out on a date. You're like his best friend on MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace. So, remember those days?
That was a thing. I remember.
Yeah, what do you think about him? And I was like, oh, he's a great guy, you know. The usual, you know, lies that you tell about your male friends. Hey, yeah. He's a really good guy. He's really nice. He's mature. You know, all the things that weren't true.
Mature.
Cool.
Yeah, poor girl. Anyway, another email. our good friend Zach Lyons is writing in. He has two questions, really good questions, actually. First one, Octodad just released on the Wii U, right? Any chance that the Squidlings or Octolings from Splatoon can make a cameo appearance in the port? I would pay good money to see such a crossover.
So do you want like a real answer or...
I think so, he wants a real answer.
I mean, the answer maybe, that you're allowed to give.
if the Splatoon team was interested in that, maybe we would consider it. But to be honest, we're a 7-person company, and so we have to like be very careful where we spend our time. And we started working on a new game back in February, actually, that we've been kind of gnawing away at as we work on all these ports that we've been doing also. So we're more focused on that than creating new Octodad content. And it's not an Octodad game because we're trying to make sure that we're not like a one-hit wonder disaster, I guess. Prove to ourselves that we can do something else that people will like before. Eventually, I think we'll go back to Octodad and make a sequel proper. But for now, there's no plans for extra content, though we would not be against... You know, Octodad being maybe in Splatoon.
That would be awesome.
But we'll see.
Octodad Amiibo coming out?
I wish.
I was going to say, you know, it would be pretty easy to just have Octodad be like a scorekeeper in Splatoon.
Right. I mean, I think the Shovel Knight guys are doing that on their own independently, right? They're manufacturing and making those.
Yeah. Which is pretty awesome to see in Shovel Knight Amiibo coming.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool.
His second question is, alternatively, perhaps you can convince Nintendo to use a design inspired by Octodad as the new version of Octo Rocks in the new Legend of Zelda game. Make it happen, yo.
I don't know if Nintendo Japan will let that happen or not, with Zelda especially.
Yeah, it might be a tough order.
I'm sure they're especially protective of that IP. I'm just giving these like boring real answers.
Well, here's a question I don't think any of our emails are going to cover. So, you know, Octodad, he has two children, and they're perfectly normal children. Well, yeah,
that we can.
Did you guys actually? Did you actually do research to make sure that the octopus genes were recessive, or did you just assume they were going to come out all human?
I don't know if we thought about it that much. That's the funny thing about a lot of this is. Yeah, we planned out like the general story, and some of the world building is there, but a lot of the logic in why things exist is mostly rooted in, is this funny or not? And usually when people are like, well, how did he have, you know, these human kids? We just kind of explain it as, you know, well, if your parents, you know, didn't explain how that works to you, we're not going to. So
the mailman is the father.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
They're adopted.
That's canon, totally.
Oh, my God. If your parents didn't explain that.
I like that. That's actually a great answer.
That really is. It's a good way to dance around it.
Right.
All right, next email is from Mitch Jacoby. He says, ask the Octodad dude why the game took so long to come to the Xbox and if the next game won't take so long.
So the next game will probably, like, I guess you can't really, you can't quote me on this yet because it's so far out that it's hard to know. But I think what we will attempt to do is have it be like a PC, PS4, Xbox One simultaneous release initially. At least that's what I think right now. Like I said, it could change. But it took a long time, partially for things I can't talk about, and partially just because we're only seven people and we were working on the Vita port, the Xbox One port, the Wii U port, and then both of the mobile ports all at the same time. And so we only have two programmers technically, and we don't have a QA team besides ourselves. And so we were testing and optimizing and, you know, changing things for all of these to work appropriately because different platforms require different, you know, different things in their certification requirements. And
If something works really well for the Vita, it might not work at all for the Xbox, right?
Exactly. Like, there are different achievements and trophies and stuff for each of them, and different control schemes, stuff like that. This stuff takes a surprising amount of time to do something that from the outside seems pretty like obvious or simple, or like, why didn't you just like put it on there?
Make magic happen.
Right.
All you have to do is snap your fingers, right?
Of course. Yeah, that's exactly how that works. You just get the file and then you just put it on the console, and that's how you do that.
Yeah, well, that's what 80s movies about programmers taught me.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, though, is in essence, in order to get the full Octodad experience, you need to buy it on all platforms.
Of course, yes. All like nine that it's on now.
What other ports are coming? Tiger, R-Zone, N-Gage.
Yeah, specifically N-Gage, Taco Phone.
Nice.
I do know one person who has an N-Gage. He would be excited.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking to Jeff Griffin from Giant Bomb. I guess he's trying to figure out how to stream N-Gage games.
For some wow.
Some horrible reason.
I think the easiest way would be to just put a camera on it.
yeah, you would think. But he said that like they back then sent him some sort of like special connector, but it only connected to something else in a special way, and now he's trying to figure out how to do it otherwise. I don't know.
It only connected to an Apple IIe.
I just responded, Jeff, why? Why?
How do you stream an N-Gage? Through the tears.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a hard time getting fucking live streaming on YouTube to work on a modern laptop. I couldn't imagine. Right? You know, actively struggling to take a 10-year-old piece of technology and make it work.
Man.
But I don't know. Games are hard to make. That is my answer, I guess.
Good answer.
Especially when you're not a team of hundreds of people and you're seven people.
Yeah, you don't just get to tell two people, hey, this is your job now, or 10 people, this is your job now.
Right. So we are all doing 10 or 15 different things at any time. So.
All right. Our next email comes from our very own Chris Huber, who is out heading towards Boston for a concert this weekend. He says, so Octodad people, my question for you is, with a game that depends so heavily on ragdoll physics, how do you know when you've got them just right? I've played a handful of games with this as the main mechanic, and I've enjoyed some while despising others. Really interested in hearing your opinion on this and enjoy your work.
I might not have the best opinion on this just because Devin Scott Tonkin, who's one of our programmers, is the guy who focused a lot on like the feel of how he both looks when he's flopping around and how he controls. But basically, we wanted it to be funny, but also manageable and not impossible to kind of get things done. And the way we balance that out is through a ton of testing. Here in Chicago, we did local tests, play tests like every 2 weeks, throughout development. pretty much the whole time, just with friends, with people. Like, we would take it to back to our school and call in, like, you know, current students and stuff like that, and have all different kinds of people play it, people who were really good at games, people who didn't play games that often, that sort of thing. And it just took a ton of work. We have a video up on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/octodadgame, called The Skinning of Octodad, or The Nightmare of Skinning Octodad, or something like that. and it shows...
Sounds beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it's a great family-friendly vid. And it just shows, like, a bunch of the ridiculous things that happened while trying to have the graphics and the physics of his body kind of coalesce in a way that made sense. And it just shows kind of the process we went through with that.
That is pretty cool. Hey, Joe, I'm going to put you in charge, even though you're already in charge. I'll be back in a few.
Are you going pee-pee again?
I'm going to go die in the bathroom.
Go make a boom-boom?
The taco.
Yeah. I got to go make my peeps and poops.
taco shits?
On the podcast. Oh, God, thanks.
Painting your beautiful picture here.
That's the beauty of the podcast, is we get to describe the action through the magic of words.
Excellent.
All right. One more email that we have for you is from our friend Shiz Blacka, who was just recently on the show. He is a Twitch streamer and says, first off, please tell the guys I absolutely love the game, and I'm glad it finally hit the Xbox One because it was fun as hell. I'm sure I could ask tons of questions, but I'm going to go with, what made you decide that co-op would share one body rather than have multiple octodads? It's definitely a great addition, but an uncommon one for sure. Thanks again for the gem.
I mean, I think it was that it was easy, like, because we already had set up the systems in the game to where, you know, you can control each limb independently, since that's how the game works. And so, you know, a mixture of, like, all of us having seen Power Rangers and stuff like that, where they are all, you know, different Zords coming together, form this big robot, and you kind of, like, move it around. It just seemed obvious. I don't know. And it seemed more fun to kind of, like, anytime you're in multiplayer and you're doing co-op, like, when you can interact with the other characters directly instead of just, you know, casually helping each other, it's more fun because, you know, you can struggle, like, one arm can pull one direction, the other one can pull the other, and if you're not talking or punching the other person or whatever and trying to coerce them and doing what you want to do, it's just going to be, like, a hilarious struggle, and it creates a fun atmosphere when you're playing. So it's this, you know, Voltron-esque scenario.
How many friendships do you think you destroyed through the co-op in the game?
Hopefully many, but I'm not sure on specific numbers.
We're going to have to work on getting those. So if anybody listening to this, if you have had a friendship destroyed by Octodad, please send us an email and let us know.
I have heard of a lot of, like, married couples being like, we had to stop playing this together.
How many divorces have you caused? Holy shit.
That's a frightening thing to think about. I don't know.
Man, I will never have to play that with my wife. I've tricked her this far. We can't go jeopardizing anything.
Right.
Oh, if you fuck this up for me, Phil, I'm going to be so pissed.
I'm sorry.
God damn it, man. So you said you're working on a new title. What kind of information can you give us about that?
Almost nothing. It's not anything like Octodad. We tried to do something completely different again. Yeah, I don't know. There's not much I can say without spoiling a lot of it.
It's a Japanese dating sim fighting game, isn't it?
I mean, one of the pitches we talked about was a, like, high school dating sim meets, like, local multiplayer sports game.
Dude, it's getting so overused. Why, you know...
So, that is the thing we actually pitched, where it was, like, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Friday Night Lights sort of thing. So...
That might actually be entertaining.
Right? But we determined that it was too big of an idea for us to do just yet. But, you know, put it on the back burner, see where that goes later.
That would really be interesting to check out sometime down the line. You said you're a team of what, 7 people?
Yeah.
Has it fluctuated at all? Were you guys smaller in the beginning?
A little bit. So initially, like coming up with Octodad, there was 18 of us, and that was through an extracurricular thing at school where they interviewed about 50 students as if it was going to be a real studio, and then brought on 18 to actually do the project, which you didn't know what it was until you joined the team, and we all pitched a bunch of different ideas and voted on them and stuff like that and did prototypes and ended up with Octodad. That did well enough in the Independent Games Festival that we entered it in that it was nominated for the student competition. And that was in 2011. And then we were like, oh, well, we got a bunch of press attention for this and people seem to think it's funny and like it, because we had put it out for free because it was basically just a proof of concept. That it did well enough that we were like, okay, well, maybe we'll try to start a real studio and make this for real and then sell it and see what happens. And a lot of people... or I don't know, a good amount of the team wasn't as interested because it was a big risk and it was a huge time sink because we weren't planning on getting any publisher funding or anything like that. We wanted to stay independent, and the plan was, you know, we'll run a Kickstarter, but we probably won't raise enough to make the full game. And what we'll do is everyone will work day jobs and then, you know, work on the game at night and on the weekends. And so that's what we did. And so we originally had 9 people on the team doing that. One person later realized that that's not what they actually wanted to do because they found out kind of how much work it was taking and how much it takes away from having a life. And then after the game was released, we lost another person because they went and worked somewhere else. And so now we've been 7 people since like March of 2014.
Went to work somewhere else is code for murder, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
So this is a question you obviously don't have to answer if you guys don't want to. But with the release of the game, was it successful enough that anyone was able to quit their day job? Or are you still a team at night and then, you know, day job during the day?
Oh, yeah. So like when we – before the game released, we had set up kind of you know, like what is our low level of success? What is like the bare minimum we need to make in order for maybe a couple of us to quit day jobs and be full time people so that we can do more? And like what's the amount where we can all quit and what's like ultimate like, oh, yes, we did really well as far as units and money and stuff like that goes. And so in I think it was around that same time, like March 2014, the game had been out for, you know, 2 months or so. And that's when we first started seeing money from it. And we'd been, as a team, like tracking our hours throughout development to make sure like everyone knew how much each person did towards, you know, finishing the project. And so the amount we made was enough to pay us all back those back wages and then also continue the company. And it looked like the tail of the sales were good enough. And so currently... all 7 of us are full-time at Young Horses working
awesome.
On games.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Which was the ultimate goal, and, you know, we're all super lucky and happy that it did happen because
but now there's that sophomore release that you guys all have to look at now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's horrifying, honestly.
But that's actually – I commend you that you were able to do well enough on just the PC release that you were able to now push it on other platforms, and hopefully that does well enough on those platforms that you won't have any issues getting to that second game.
Yeah, it's done surprisingly well on even, you know, the subsequent releases. PS4 did very well just because – not just because, but I think a lot because they did and stuff like that, which was – huge, because then you get exposed to people who, you know, don't always pay attention to Kotaku or Joystick or no longer.
Oh,
Joystick,
I miss Joystick so much.
I know, so do I. But sites like
I'll
that,
definitely
like,
say. Oh, you're saying sorry.
No, that's okay. Just you know, not a lot of people always get exposed to those like core gaming sites, but do play video games, and so E3 was like a huge exposure to that.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who just read the E3 news, and that's their news for the year.
Right.
You know, oh, and I'm done.
Yeah.
You know. I still like how I paid to be in that room the one year. And...
no one. Well, that was, in my defense, that was the depths of my alcoholism. I was sleeping in until like noon, 1 o'clock every day.
Yeah. Like random girls can go take a shower in our room, but I couldn't.
No, I only let two, and that was because it was one of their birthday. But yeah, the shower in the presidential suite at the Gaylord has it's three directions. There's shower heads above you and to the left and the right, and they're all adjustable separately.
So of course, like Pappy had like them all aimed directly at his crotch.
Yeah, even the ones above me.
Like a pressure washer, just.
I must get clean.
Oh, by the way, I'm recording again.
I assumed that you've been recording this whole thing. I treat it like that's the fact.
Yeah, computer glitches are awesome, but hopefully goddamn Potato won't jump up on the goddamn death. Oh my God, she's coming back over. She heard me. God damn it, Potato.
But hey, that works out, you know, because Colette hooked me up again this year and is taking really good care of me. So yeah, and I get to pimp MAGFest again. I would love to see every developer we interview show up at MAGFest so I can meet them, you know, face to face.
That'd be fun.
So yeah, you should go to MAGFest. As the rest of the MAGFest stuff was not on the recording. But yeah.
That's
all right. Go to MAGFest.
You gotta love when the momentum of a show gets interrupted by a cat, and now we're just kinda like, oh, we're back.
So any other email questions, Joe?
Nah, I did the last one while you were doing your taco shits.
Yeah, I don't remember eating kale, but apparently I did.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
I just like his gross. Yes.
Oh, so Pappy, you have your favorite question you like to ask developers. Why don't you ask that?
Yes, although this one, depending on how much free time you had, I'm always curious. And if you want to talk about some of the other developers and what they did as well, by all means, when you guys were working on the game, what kind of games did you play to kind of decompress or just take your mind off of your game?
I'm really bad at video games.
That's a great answer. It's actually still a better answer than the guy who said Dark Souls 2.
Dude, everybody says Dark Souls.
No, I don't like Dark Souls. I like Bloodborne.
It's the easier one.
Yeah, exactly.
Still too damn hard.
It's amazing how many people say Dark Souls and Bloodborne are their relaxation games.
I don't know.
I'm still
waiting
for someone to be like, I just played Barbie and Hannah Montana because I didn't want to be challenged.
I don't know what I was playing then.
Well, even just a couple of months ago when you guys were working on the port, you know, what were you playing when you weren't running PR and testing and all of that?
I've been playing Metal Gear Solid 5 for months now because it is fucking game.
What is the thing called when you hook them up to the balloon?
Fultoning.
Yeah. Have you been fultoning everything in your path?
No, I'm a little bit more picky about who I fulton. Anyone who is like not above certain ranks in certain skills, I'll just kill them. And then fulton anyone who is worthy. It's kind of evil, but...
One of our friends was saying how he was waiting for the helicopter at the end of a mission, and so he saw a bear and went and fist fought the bear and then fultoned it after it fell asleep.
Yeah, you get this like you have a prosthetic arm. You can a version of it has a rocket attached to it, and you can shoot off your arm and like punch bears and stuff. So it's pretty fun.
I love that the Metal Gear Online, like you can shoot someone and take them down. But to really rub it in, you want to fulton them and get the extra points for that. Instead of why bother killing someone when you can fulton them out of the match?
I think that's the game I've played the most in a long time. I've got like over 90 hours in it now.
Damn.
And I'm only like maybe close to 2/3 through it. Because you get halfway through the game and spoilers, there is another half of the game. But even though like... Like they show you the end credits that seem like, oh, okay, well, I'm done, it's over, and whatever, and then they're like, it fades in, and it's like part two, and you're like, what the fuck? and so I'm like, oh, I guess I have another 30, 40 hours the play of this, which is good because I love it. It's a lot of fun. But I was just like wondering when is this going to end?
That's going to be me in Fallout 4 on Tuesday. Yeah. By the way, Joe, I might not be on the podcast next Thursday because I'll be playing Fallout 4.
We'll just cancel next week.
Or we could just record while I'm playing.
Well, we're all playing. It's like, so Pappy, what do you want to play? Talk about this week? Hold on.
What? Let's talk about what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And all you hear...
And then it'll be our most listened to podcast with like 5,000 hits in the first day.
But
you son of a bitch, I had you!
Besides Metal Gear, we play a lot of Rocket League in the office.
Chris would be very happy, our second and a half guest, or host. But yeah, he loves Rocket League. So are you guys good? Like, should I challenge you and then get my ass kicked?
I mean, we're all right. I don't know if I can consider us good or not, but we play a lot. But we play on PS4, so I don't know if you have it on there.
I'm the only one with a PS4 on the show, and I am a disgruntled PS4 owner because I'm on my sixth one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it your fourth or fifth that almost burned down the house?
The fifth one started smoking.
That's crazy. I don't know if they like knew I was buying it, but I've had the same one since release.
Yeah, so many people have said, like, I fully admit I have shit luck with the system, but when mine starts smoking and Sony, like, I bought the 3-year extended warranty and Sony's like, oh, well, sorry, that only covered your alleged second system that you only had 2 days because it was broken out of the box.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah. So I'm disgruntled with Sony, and I still ended up buying another
rightfully so.
Yeah, I still like to get Joe all revved up when I point out that someone actually called him a liar.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, who would make up needing to replace their system every 2 months, you know?
Right. Pain in the ass. Why would you want that?
Yeah. It's like, well, what have you been doing to hurt it? It's like, I guess you don't really know Joe or have ever been to his house, but if you touch any of his electronics, you better be wearing gloves.
Yeah. I am very anal about my stuff, and people are like, oh, well, you're just a Sony hater. It's like, I didn't spend $400 on a system to hate the thing.
Right.
Like, as long as it works, I'll be content with it. I can't really say I'll be a fan of it anymore because I think we're beyond that point, but I own one. I own games for it. I'm still going to play the thing when I have to. I'm not going to go out of my way to play it. But
yeah, basically, Joe's in an abusive relationship. He wants to like it. He wants to support it, but it just keeps beating him down.
I want you to love me, Sony. And Sony's like, fuck you, bitch. And then slaps me. Why don't you love me back, Sony?
It's rough. I have an Xbox One, but I don't play it that often.
Yeah, we're all Xbox guys on the show.
Yeah.
I made the decision to go one console, and I'm a huge, huge Halo guy, so it was a pretty big no-brainer for me.
I used to be. I played 1 through 3 a hell of a lot. 2 came out when I was in high school, and I played it like 4 hours a day, every day, like all the time, online. But since then, I don't know. I just haven't played it that much.
Well, that was I didn't get a console until I lived in Japan, stationed there. And we started doing Halo. We'd actually go to a guy's house and put up projectors on opposite walls and do 4-on-4 Halo 1. So that was really some of the best memories of a video game. You know, most people are like, oh, yeah, when I was in middle school, I played this, or high school. I'm like, when I was 21 years old, I had my first real video game memory of bonding with a bunch of other people.
Right. Yeah, no.
Before that, it was just me and Joe's basement.
Getting his ass kicked at Smash.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Halo 1, we did the same thing. Big LAN parties where we'd bring 4 Xboxes, 4 huge CRT TVs.
There is 4 cars to carry them.
Right, right.
Need a U-Haul just to move all that shit.
But when you're all in the same room, it's a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, yeah, I don't know.
The floor gives way from the weight of all the TVs.
Yeah.
That's why you got to play in the basement.
Yeah.
I do not miss CRT TVs. Like, people are like, oh, well, a Sega Genesis or a Super Nintendo looks so much more authentic on a CRT TV. It's like, yeah, well, my flat screen isn't 140 pounds.
The only good thing about them is if you're playing a rhythm game, they have a good refresh rate.
Yeah, true, for DDR.
Yeah.
Oh, but, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I have Master Chief Collection, but I haven't played it that much yet. And I assume I'll pick up 5 eventually.
Well, I just got 5 today after having it pre-ordered release date. UPS managed to lose my original shipment and my reshipment.
Really? They lost the reshipment?
Yeah, that's why they said they couldn't get it to me till today.
Oh, my Lord.
I have it. It's still wrapped. The moment we get off of this show, I'm going to install it so that I can't play tonight, but I can play tomorrow.
I can't wait until you open it and it's like a CDR in there.
It's fucking broken in half.
And it just says fuck you in Sharpie on the top of it.
And someone actually went to the trouble of re-saran wrapping it. And
yeah, is it fuck you to Ross D. Boutre? You're like, wow, this is really personal.
This is pretty specific, guys. I didn't even give you my middle initial.
I think this was meant for me. Oh, man.
Now, well, I'm actually worried.
You could always do what I do and just record an unboxing video of you opening a single game.
Yeah, no, I'll let you do that, Mr. I buy every special edition known to man.
Not every.
You buy special editions to games you have never played.
I plan to.
Is this true?
I don't buy games with the intention of never playing them. I buy games with the intent to play everything.
And you just happen to not play them.
Yeah. It happens frequently, yeah. But it happens.
I have that
problem. The problem is you need to actually go, okay, how high is this on my list of games to play? Well, it's pretty low. Maybe I should just buy the regular edition.
No. The regular edition won't have a statue and a soundtrack and an art book.
Because you bought all the Agarest Wars, didn't you?
Yeah, the three, two on Xbox and then one on PlayStation 3.
Yeah, and how many of them have you played?
None.
Oh, man.
And how many of them were special editions?
All of them.
Yeah. I rest my case. Although that I did buy the Agarest War special edition, and that was the first time I was ever embarrassed to walk out of a GameStop.
I would walk out of that one loud and proud. I would open it up, pull out the mouse pad, which I'm still using. The Agarest War mouse pad, the titty mouse pad, is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, the one that I sent you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's one of the characters, but it's with the, you know, the wrist rest, it's her breasts.
Right.
And it's then it also came with a pillowcase of the girls. And,
of course it did.
But it's that was the only edition available. Initially, that was the only edition available, so I actually asked the court to double bag it for me.
I would have opened it up, like, put the pillowcase over my head as I walked out.
Yeah,
I think the only big special edition I ever got was the legendary edition of Halo 3 with the helmet and stuff.
The cat helmet?
Yeah.
I think everybody has the cat helmet.
I had people stopping me. I was walking out of the mall with that bad boy. Like, what is that? I'm like, it's a video game. It's like, is that a little big to be a video game? Like, shut up.
Don't worry about it.
And yeah, now that's like a small edition now when you have something like a Titanfall statue in your house.
Yeah.
Once a year I buy the special edition, and this year I managed to get the Fallout 4 Pip-Boy edition.
Oh, cool.
Hell yeah. Can't wait for Fallout.
Yeah, I got 4 days to beat Halo 5.
That's rough.
Well, we have the weekend. We can campaign it over the week. I've been waiting to play campaign for Pappy. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Saturday, I'm going to wake up in the morning, go do all my stuff, so I should be able to play from like 2 till whenever you pass out.
Nice.
Yeah, I got to go see him. I got to go watch Spectre.
So there you go, Phil. Morning. Pick up Halo 5. You could play Halo 5 campaign with us this Saturday.
Oh, God.
I don't even want to talk to you guys tonight. I got to do it on Saturday too.
No, it's just video games. They're hard. They take effort.
I play the campaign mode on Halo, and then I'll play online with friends. I will never play online by myself with a first-person shooter. It's not fun. I'm not good enough.
Yeah, no, usually it's not fun.
I will say Warzone is fun.
Yeah.
Warzone. Yeah, the Warzone mode. That's the
new multiplayer mode.
Yeah, the PvPvE. I'm not a guy who likes playing Halo online by myself just because of I'm not good at shooters, but yeah. I'm just having a lot of fun with Warzone because the matches are significantly longer. Someone was pissed about because he's like, yeah, there's going to be a blowout in the first 5 minutes and then you just have to sit there for the rest of the match and just hate it. It's like, no, take that time to kill things and enjoy the fact that you're going to lose, but you're going to go down swinging. Plus, they have the AI enemies that show up give you instead, you know, you get a point for a kill or you get a point for holding control of a stronghold. Well, killing these AI enemies can give you like a 25-point bonus or a 50-point bonus. And near the end of the match, there's the one really big one comes up that's worth 150 points, which could easily swing the momentum of a match. Huh.
Yeah, I like that. It actually sounds like they incorporated a little bit of what people liked about Titanfall.
It's very I get a big Titanfall vibe from it because of the whole AI aspect.
Right. Or even like Firefight, like I liked that a lot from ODST.
Yeah, ODST was so good.
That was one of my favorite Halos.
Pappy, we got to finish ODST.
Yeah, we do. I need more Nathan Fillion in my life.
Well, he's in 5.
I know, so I can play them both.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch Serenity afterwards and just OD.
And then there Castle.
And then
Slither.
Dude, I watched every episode of Castle up to season 3, and I haven't watched it since.
Is Castle good?
I loved the first 3 seasons.
I haven't seen it because only the latest ones are on Hulu. I haven't gone back and bought it or anything.
Yeah, I recommend it. I mean, they wrote it around him being able to be like how everyone expects Nathan Fillion to be, you know.
Right.
Honestly, him and Bruce Campbell, they're the two guys where you almost have to write
for them
their character around how they act, you know.
Have you seen the new Evil Dead?
DVR. I got to watch it.
My other side project that I also don't get paid for is I do a work for a YouTube channel, and we're going very horror oriented, so we're actually doing reactions of every episode of Bruce Campbell versus Evil Dead.
Cool.
So although the first episode was just, you know, our recap was her going over the plot and me squeeing like a fanboy for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I was surprised. I expected worst.
I mean, I'll tell you, I don't think anyone has mastered physical comedy like Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
He is a unique butterfly, like his that's ability, for sure.
Yeah, his ability to just go, you know, hey, you're fighting this thing. We're going to CGI in later and go, you know.
Right, right.
And it looks seamless. Yeah, video games.
See, this is the problem is like I said, when you get into making them, I stop playing them as much. And I'd rather go see a movie, read a book, do whatever. I mean, there's once in a while there's a game like Metal Gear that I'll play for like a long ass time. But otherwise, I'll pick something up for 5 minutes and I'm like, all right, I understand what this is.
But yeah, I started getting into that whole, let's play horror games. Well, let's play them on Steam. They're cheaper. They tend to be quicker, you know.
Yeah.
Good way to do it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to play horror games, rule number one that we learned, don't download a horror game from a shady website.
Yeah, probably not a good plan.
Yeah, a Russian porn site popped up?
I was told to download Train. Well, my friend did the research, sent me the link. It turned out that she sent me the wrong link, so it wasn't the guy's official page. So I installed the game. It locked up on me like multiple times, and it also auto-installed another program that I had to uninstall, and then auto opened a Russian porn site on my on my browser,
which he bookmarked. So obviously,
I'm now a subscribing member.
But speaking of horror games, we do actually have some horror games to give away in addition to the Octodad codes that we had.
Cool.
Capcom was awesome enough to send us Resident Evil Revelations 2 and the Resident Evil Remaster. And we are going to give one set of the games away to one person, And a runner-up is going to get Just Revelations 2. And we asked for emails for people to send us their favorite horror game memories. And we have a handful of those to read off. Maybe you could help us judge.
Sure.
All right. Our first one is from, go figure, Zach Lyons. he's been our biggest fan since, like, the beginning. And
that's cool.
It's awesome that he's still a part of it for some reason. He's been on a few times. Poor guy.
Well, he's doing the Final Fantasy challenge where he's trying to beat all of the Final Fantasies this year.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I think he's on 12 right now.
Yeah, he's on 12. So he can make it if he pushes.
I've never been about those games. It's like suffering for me.
Yeah. The only time I ever enjoyed it was we had a friend who would just get drunk and play 8. Dorms and just yell at the screen like constantly. So me and another dude would go there like 3-4 nights a week and just watch him play and get angry.
I mean, that's like a performance.
Yeah,
performance art.
I don't think it mattered what game, just watching him react to the game is what mattered.
Anyway, Zach sends us, he says, back in middle/high school, my friend Eric picked up this little under the radar title called Fatal Frame. He brought it over to another friend's house when we were all there. There were like 5 of us and staying the night. And we all took turns playing it and pooping ourselves. About an hour of, no, it's not my turn. You play. I can't handle that crap. From the rest of them, the task was left to me to play the game as the rest of them watched. I was the only one who could hold my hand steady enough to play it without losing my shit. Obviously, I didn't beat the game in that one night, but it was one of the most fun nights of gaming with my friends ever. A couple of years later, when Fatal Frame 3 came out, one of those friends brought home Fatal Frame 2, and he was living at my place at the time, so I was able to really get stuck in playing it. He told me that if I could beat the first 2 games, he would buy me the 3rd. We ended up having a couple of those friends from before come around when I started playing and had another good night then. Within the month, I had beat both games, and true to his word, he bought me number 3. Incidentally, I got about halfway through Fatal Frame 3 when Final Fantasy 12 came out, and I got sidetracked. To this day, I still have not beat Fatal Frame 3. Yeah, Final Fantasy 3. Hoping to change that next year once my Final Fantasy marathon is over. So, good memory from Zach there.
Yeah, that's a good memory. I was hoping it was going to end with everyone wetting their pants or something.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't ask for horror stories.
There was no big finish there.
Yeah. That was a happy ending. I don't like happy endings. Let's get the next one.
Next one is from Mitch Jacoby. He says, hey, SML dorks, saw someone mention your giveaway and figured I would send something in to maybe get some free games. Thank you for your honesty. My favorite horror memory was playing the first Resident Evil on the first PlayStation with my brother. We were so excited about how crazy the graphics looked and moving around in a big house and looking for zombies, so we weren't really paying attention and that much, and then we walked down the one hallway, and I think we both shit ourselves when the dog jumped through the window and chased after us. The dog killed us because my brother legit threw the controller at the TV screaming. Good thing that TVs back then had thick glass screens, or he probably would have broken it. To this day, I've never replayed the first Resident Evil game, despite enjoying some of the others, but maybe if I got that first prize with the HD remake, I'll give it one more shot. Cool show and cool guests. I like the music, too. Keep it up. Thanks, dork.
Okay, I like that one, yeah. Because I'm glad other people like Resident Evil, because my personal opinion is the game is only scary because the controls are so bad.
Yeah, because you got to like fuss with it so much to get away from anything, yeah.
Next one here from Brad Hall. My favorite horror game was Martian Gothic on the PlayStation. The horror was manifold in its terror. If walking around a Martian base infested with astronaut zombies that would randomly come back to life or unlife wasn't enough to shock you and make you conserve every last bullet, you also had to contend with one of several hundred game-crashing bugs that would leap out at you from nowhere and cause you to start back at your last save. Sometimes you couldn't even do that, as some of the bugs would delete your save game file. Wow.
Oh, no.
Several other fans of this game and I once tried to make an FAQ for all of the bugs, but abandoned the project as we had lives and didn't want to abandon them in the process. What makes this game a favorite memory? It gave me the dialogue needed to make my trance masterpiece, The Bacon Slicer. Oh, yes, this game is the fairy's midwife. And he has a YouTube link. I don't know if this is a song or what.
M game right there, you know, like It wasn't horror for horror's sake. It was horror because it was so poorly made.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks like a song. I'm not sure if it was something he did. I don't know. Grumble, grumble, Brad.
Yeah, so that's what was the name of that game? So anyone who's into the S&M lifestyle can pick it up.
Martian Gothic on the PlayStation 1.
That is a name.
If you are into the sadism lifestyle, then feel free to pick that up and just be in.
I don't know. I mean, I like Fatal Frame just because it's so weird. It's such an odd game, and it's something that, like, it's kind of popular within, like, horror game communities, but it's not well known anywhere else, or at least, you know, it's not a Resident Evil.
Yeah, we had a guy stream it for Halloween and dressed as Luigi, and it was hugely popular. The new one, he got Fatal Frame 4, and it was scary as shit just to watch. And I'm like, man, I'm glad he's playing this and not me. I don't know. I kind of want to give it to Fatal Frame just because his story gets to say he had more balls than everyone else at the house.
True.
All right, then Zach is the runner up here. So Mitch Jacoby, you are the winner of our 2-game master pack of awesome, and Zach, you're Mr. Runner Up.
Yep, because one guy gets to say tease his brother forever, and the other guy gets to tease his friends forever.
Yeah. That was fun. And giving away games is fun.
Yeah.
Good times.
Let's never do that again.
No, that was pretty rad.
Cool. this is the kind of stuff that we like to do. You know, it's interactive. You know, we're pre-recorded. We're not a live show, so we still want to interact with our listeners.
Right, right.
And nothing gets people motivated than free shit.
Yeah, people like free shit. Go figure.
Weird.
Shocking development.
So what else we got to hit, Joe?
Let's see. We don't really have anything we need to talk about this week because, you know, fucking Halo came out, so there is nothing else.
I haven't played it yet, so I can't even talk about it.
There's a little bit of sad news. I was hoping to have Andrew from Maximum Games on the show to discuss their upcoming title, Alekhine's Gun, that was slated for release on Tuesday, but the news just went out earlier this week that it got bumped until February.
It might not be a bad idea, though.
Yeah, especially because it was going up against Tomb Raider, Black Ops, Halo just came out, Fallout, Battlefront's the week after, so...
Yeah, this is actually, if you're an indie gamer, you just want to avoid shit until January.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we usually try to do. It's kind of releasing a game when you're a small studio is just like a total minefield of avoiding getting overshadowed by huge games.
I feel like February, March is really the best time because no AAAs come out around then, you know?
Yeah, January is, well, I don't know, it depends.
That's been changing in recent years.
Well, yeah. But honestly, it feels like Nintendo does more of the big stuff in the late spring than anyone else.
That's true.
I mean,
January is pretty good for bigger indies because it's getting more popular to do releases then. We released then. The Witness is coming out then. Stuff like that. And then February and March are usually good. But then sometimes in March you'll get like an Assassin's Creed or something like that. So
I know in February.
Didn't Dragon Age drop in February?
I think Titanfall released in February, March.
Something like that. I know this coming February already has Street Fighter V, Deus Ex, right. Mankind Divided, and Far Cry Primal.
So nothing big.
Nothing big. And March already has Uncharted 4.
So you mentioned 4 games, and I'm only picking up one of them.
That's you.
Yeah. Well, one, I don't have a PlayStation, so that takes Street Fighter right off the table.
And Uncharted, obviously.
And Uncharted. No, Deus Ex, though, man. Whew.
Yeah,
it looks good time great. To be a fan of RPGs. Not JRPGs, though. I'll still never enjoy them.
I just don't like turn-based stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't like, oh, hey, welcome to the final boss. Did you grind for 45 hours? No.
Right.
No. Yeah. That's why I own a lot of games I never beat.
Yeah, I did this week.
I love this, and I had to grind.
Yeah, this week I did want to give another quick shout out to Larian Studios' Divinity: Original Sin, which is just it is Oh my God. It is so, so huge. There is so much shit to do in that game, and it's still early game for me. It just seems like you can do everything in there and never get any of it done because you're too busy starting other things.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think my active quest list right now has like 15 different things in it.
That's me in Fallout, man. I just go around collecting quests. I like it when I accidentally fill a quest. I didn't even know I was a, you know, you go to talk to somebody. Hey, get me these. Oh, hey, I got those 4 hours ago. I didn't know what they were for. Here you
yeah.
go.
That's the best. So I guess what's everyone playing right now? Like, Philip, what are you playing right now besides Metal Gear?
Besides Metal Gear, the Independent Games Festival, the IGF, is judging just started for that. And so since we're not entering anything this year, we're all judging a bunch of games that were entered into that. And I don't know if you guys have heard of Superhot before.
Yes, I am stupidly excited for that game. And if you can get me a contact with someone there, because I would love to have them come on here.
I don't know them.
We're begging our guests on the show to hook us up with other guests.
Dude, I will whore myself out in any way I can to get this show bigger and better.
If I knew them, I would. I don't. But well, I have played the game, and I can confirm that it's excellent. Like,
that,
it's super
that
good.
That is still good news to hear that the game is at it. Pappy, have you heard anything about the game?
I know nothing, but I just wanted to say real quick, Joe, the only way we're going to make this show better is if we replace ourselves with someone talented.
Well, I could always fire you.
Yeah, but then you're still on the show.
Yeah, I know.
But anyhow, no, I know nothing about Superhot. Enlighten me.
It is a first-person shooter where time only moves when you move.
Huh, so you can stand there frozen in indecision for hours.
Yes.
Well, no. Not entirely. Time moves like very slowly when you're not moving. So it's still moving, but when you move, it speeds up.
Okay.
In accordance with like how fast you move and the actions you take. So anytime you fire your gun, because it's basically these like, I don't know, action movie type scenarios where, you know, you're like coming out of an elevator and there's a guy in front of you with a gun and you have to like throw the phone that you were talking on at the guy so that he drops his gun. But then since time is moving slowly, you grab the gun out of the air and then you shoot him. And then you have to take on like a whole room of enemies or whatever.
So the whole game is just a John Woo film.
Yeah, kind of. Except you're shooting these art styles. A lot of the rooms are very like white, pristine, kind of stylized, and all the enemies that you're fighting are these like crystalline golden red faceless like humanoids.
Yeah, the visual style is insane.
Yeah, and anytime you beat a level, it just sits there going super hot, super hot. In between, I don't know, it's just very fun because it's like you have to be kind of tactical about like who you fight first and when, and you know, you can throw your gun at people when you run out of ammo and you don't get a chance. You can't reload. You have to throw the gun and find another gun or find another weapon, or it's very stylized and cool. And
they took a first person shooter and turned it into a chess game.
Kinda. Yeah.
It's great. Except I picked a trio of songs day before yesterday to close out my night, and every single one of them was where you would for it ended up being like 10 minutes straight. I'm just my left arm is playing all the other notes, my right arm is just doing this constant da 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 for 10 minutes, and I'm like, oh Jesus Christ, this isn't the kind of workout I wanted. My right arm is going to be like Popeye sized, and my left will still be fucking. But it's good, man, and. Had a pretty shitty day on yesterday, so I took out some serious aggression.
Yeah.
And I forgot how much fun it was, and hopefully, you know, like I said to Joe, hopefully sooner rather than later we'll get some online play again, and I can jam out with my buddies, although Joe will then give me shit for only having 300 songs.
Yeah, hopefully they add online to it sooner than later.
Yeah.
How many songs do you have, Joe, on Rock Band 4?
For Rock Band 4, probably around 1,600.
Man.
Jesus.
I had something like 400 or 500.
I think I got to 500 on Rock Band 3. And I just went through the ones, you know, I went through and downloaded every single one that I'd already, that said I'd already purchased. And I got to like 270, and I bought a couple others. But yeah, Joe went through all the ones he'd already purchased and got to like 1,200.
No, like 1,600. I just answered that question.
But that means you haven't bought a single new song?
Well, I bought most of the new stuff. There were a couple of the PS4 bonus songs I didn't grab. I got the Xbox ones were included.
Although I will say, I'm keeping up my embargo, and I did not re-download any of my Disturbed tracks.
Okay.
So.
Cool story.
That was eight songs that I did not re-download. Although the Green Day ones, I'm like, oh, it's nice. Now, you know, 25% of all of my tracks are Green Day. Thanks.
Yeah.
Got to stock up.
I still want to pick that up. I haven't gotten 4 yet.
I'm having so much fun with it.
Yeah, I'm playing band mode. I like what they did, though, too, is with like the money and the stuff. Like, you don't get to see everything. You have to unlock stuff. And it's a little slower, I think, than Rock Band 3. And it just may be in my imagination because I haven't played band mode in 3 in like 5 years. But
right. It
feels like you got to work a little bit harder. And it's cool. You get to make choices like, you know, every quote-unquote level. You get to choose, you know, do you want to go the money route or the fan route, or do you want to go, you know, get unlock more stuff, or do you want to do this? So you actually get to choose how you tour, you know. So I chose to crash on fans' couches and get more fans, and the option I turned down was doing a fashion line tour where I would have unlocked more outfits.
I got the outfits.
I figure
I could play more shows to get more fans. Those outfits, you got to get those.
All right, Joe, what's your band name?
Someone Might Listen? With a question
mark. With a question mark?
Yes.
Nice. I'm the Poop Smiths.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
I figure our podcast is the Someone Might Listen podcast. I might as well have my band be Someone Might Listen.
Nice. Nice.
Got to have that question mark, though, because you never know.
Well, when you go online, someone will.
So there you go. If you didn't know what the SML and SML podcast stood for, it is the Someone Might Listen podcast.
Original was Small, Medium, Large. Runner up was Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, we had contests for this shit.
Was I even a regular host at that point, or was I still like
Dude,
the
that
frequent
was episode
special?
20. I don't think you were on at all at that point.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. I was entering suggestions. That's right.
Hey.
Oh, somebody's
Hi, honey. Hello. Nothing. I'm just on a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing important. Honestly, nothing important.
We're not at all.
Yeah.
Why?
All
right.
I had a beard before and I shaved this morning. She's looking at me.
Okay. I thought she was asking why you on the podcast. Like,
no,
why?
No.
Both are very valid questions.
Yeah. Like, I'll grow my hair out real long and then all of a sudden I'll just like shave it real short and I'll do the same.
My uncle had a beard for like 20 years and he shaved it. And I didn't even know who the fuck he was the first time I saw him.
Yeah. I've had people like not recognize me and stuff like that when I go to events because I'll have had a beard at a previous one or whatever.
That's a great way to disguise yourself, you know. You grow a beard, then you break the law and shave the beard. No one will ever find you.
Exactly.
I think my computer is like legit dying tonight.
All right, so let's wrap up, Joe. What are you playing?
I don't think me saying what I'm playing is going to matter because like nothing is moving. Yeah, I guess we'll see if any of what I've recorded sounds okay. But I do want to thank you for coming on the show. I apologize in advance if it sounds like shit.
No, that's all right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hopefully if this worked out well enough, we could get you back on when my computer isn't a steaming pile of dog doo-doo.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Hey, thanks for being on. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
All right, Pappy. So I guess I'll just hang up with you as well.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to go install Halo and then stare at it longingly.
Awesome.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Take it easy, everyone.
Have a good night.
Burn in hell, Pappy. So, yeah, I don't know how much of this episode that you've listened to worked out well. I think this part right here is recording okay, but I have had nothing but computer issues tonight. This isn't like it was the other week where Shiz came back on and we did another little thing. It's just my computer stopped working in the middle for some dumb reasons. Part of me wonders if it's a Microsoft Edge issue, because I was using that for the emails in the middle of the show there, and that's when things started getting kind of crappy. Either way, thanks for listening this week. Music, we have some songs from Octodad, and I guess we will be back next week. Yay!
When I die, don't put me in the ground. Just throw my body in the Puget Sound. And I'll live beneath the waves with animals as my friends. When I'm gone, don't cry or whine or moan. I'll tell you now just where I'll call my home. I'll sleep beneath the waves in an oyster bed. There's nothing you could do. I did my best and now my doing's through. I live beneath the waves with a mermaid. Yeah, I live beneath the waves.
Who's that?